This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Happy gorgeous Friday to you. A few minutes past 4 p.m. Great Bernie Miklas is now part of the KMOX team, and he joins us on Mondays and Fridays. He's with us now. Bern, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Looking forward to a wonderful weekend. And lots of football for about 48 hours plus.
Man,
yeah,
you're not
it's
kidding.
Pretty sweet. Pretty
it is
sweet.
A good weekend. It's a good, starting locally, it's a great test for Mizzou.
Yeah.
You know, Auburn's not off to a good start. Their record's 2-4, but I think they're dangerous. Mm-hmm. And then it's, I think, Alabama next week, so good test there. But then there's like three mega games on the schedule for tomorrow, too.
Well, who will be favored between Mizzou and Auburn?
I think Mizzou is.
The last time I looked, I was scoping this one out today. Mizzou's a 4.5-point favorite, and I like Mizzou a lot because I think Mizzou, that performance at Vanderbilt, and then, you know, just really just looking awful at Texas A&M.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're very, very hungry, and I think they've got some things squared away, and Auburn finds a way to beat itself a lot. I mean, they have the worst turnover margin in FBS this season, and they don't have a quarterback. And, you know, Hugh Freeze seems to be, I'm not going to say he's losing the squad, but there's a lot of people have turned on him already, and it's bad. The other thing, too, about this, Zeus won 11 straight versus unranked opponents, and they've scored at least 30 points in 9 consecutive games against unranked opponents, and they've covered the spread 7-2 against the spread in those games. So I know no one's asking me for investment advice, but Mizzou's a good play.
So when Mizzou does crap the bed, as they do, like against A&M, can you point to something and go, I think it was this, these three things, or is it just sort of idiosyncratic, like everything just went bad?
Well, the one thing they're going to have to do is, and I'm not going to bore you all with the numbers, but I've been studying stuff on this because I want to get a better handle on Mizzou. The one thing they got to do is really crank up the pressure. They were very kind of laid back in their approach at Texas A&M. They let their quarterback set up and just throw. I mean, they just didn't put a middle on them. And one thing about Auburn is that they are very, as we mentioned, they're very, very prone. And if you get some heat on their quarterback, and they'll alternate quarterbacks, either one of them, you get some heat, they'll throw the ball up for Greg. So they just got to just release the hounds tomorrow. And, of course, you want to see Brady Cook get sharp. He hasn't been sharp. And that's got to happen. They also need to lean hard back in their own running game because that disappeared at A&M.
Big game for Illinois, too. You know, they're in the top 25. They're coming off a game they very well could have lost to Purdue last weekend, but – they're ranked. They're playing a ranked Michigan team that I think is a little bit – Michigan's still on their reputation from the past. Like, they're a solid team, but they have no quarterback play whatsoever. I think this is a great opportunity for Illinois at home.
I was looking at this, and, you know, it depends on how you want to slice the cake. But among Power Four conference teams, Michigan has got the second worst passing attack in the land. No, they do. It's just like every metric and every stat there is. Now, here's the thing. See, I came prepared today, fellas. the reputation for Illinois is that they're physical, they're tough, they win the line of scrimmage and all that, except they have not been good at stopping the run this year. They just have not been good, and every stat bears that out as well. So Michigan's going to go into Champaign and trying to pound that rock and, you know, run and run and run and run. So this will be a great test for the Illinois defense because you know what Michigan's going to do. They can't throw it, so they're going to try to run it and run it and run it. And then the other thing is Luke Altmyer can have a huge game here because this Michigan secondary has been getting worse by the week.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Just like Michigan is favored, right? Like Michigan has every opportunity because I think you described it perfectly, Bernie, that what they do well is something that can give Illinois trouble. But, you know, if you can get ahead of Michigan – They are not going to have an easy time making up ground because they cannot throw the football. They've used three different quarterbacks, and none of them are any good. They're all there's one's a fifth-year walk-on.
Right.
The others are one's a big recruit that has never figured out how to throw a football, and the other guy is a transfer who wasn't very good where he came from before. So I don't know how Michigan gets into that kind of position, but they have.
Well, you know, a little investment advice, or at least I'm going to analyze it here. This number jumped out at me. First of all, for the idea that Michigan with no passing game is a 3.5-point favorite over
on the road,
Illinois at Illinois. When the better ranked home teams have been a single digit favorite or underdogs since 2017, they've gone 54-16 straight up, and they have covered the spread 70% of the time. I mean, this one tilts heavy to the Illinois side. Doesn't mean it's going to happen.
Right.
I mean, you know, if we knew that the exact outcome, I wouldn't be talking to you all here on Cam White's
Day. Yeah, you'd be living in Vegas.
Trading.
Yeah.
You'd be living somewhere, but probably involving a beach. Yeah.
Bern, this is more of a political thing, but where are you on Amendment 2?
I'm totally in favor of it. Yeah, I mean, listen, the state's letting revenue just go to Kansas and Illinois, and people will find ways to wager on sporting events. And I also can't stand the hypocrisy. Let me see if I get this straight. Casinos are fine. You know, they're all over the state. God, you just go in there and, you know, you bet your sweet life away. We have a lottery. We have Keno. What the heck is the difference? I mean, and in a state that's poor, in a state that doesn't spend enough money on various important things, don't you want to have more revenue instead of letting people in St. Louis cross the river to Illinois, people in Kansas City go across the river or wherever they do to get to the state of Kansas? Mm-hmm. It makes no sense. It's just absolutely idiotic.
Let me spin this a different way. I think this is an interesting thing because we're talking a lot about the Cardinals' future. And right now, what is an uncertain television future doesn't mean it'll stay that way. I think 2, 3, 4 years down the road, the situation will probably end up being better than it has been. But when you're talking about the things that it takes for a Cardinals-type team in a market like St. Louis to succeed, you need to have as many revenue streams as possible. I don't think we should overlook how important legalized sports betting, sports books, whether they exist at Ballpark Village or in the ballpark in some way, how much that can help a team in this type of market have more of the revenue you have or that you want to boost your payroll down the road.
Yeah, that's probably my if the Cardinals are going to do it, a lot of other sports franchises are doing it. That's why the Blues want to do – they want this.
Yeah,
that's why
the
Chiefs want this, and everybody wants it. What that means as far as, like, how much of that revenue, if the Cardinals had a property in this, how much of that revenue would actually go to baseball, I have no idea. So it's hard for me to really take that leap. But I don't really care. If it's good for the Cardinals, that's fine too.
Bernie, how are you enjoying the playoffs so far?
Finally, in the LCS round, there finally was a great ball game yesterday. I mean, it had been really, really dull until those last couple innings in Cleveland yesterday. That was great entertainment. And I think the Guardians just kind of held off the inevitable. However, they got to Luke Weaver, and no one's been able to get to Luke Weaver.
Yep.
And so you just have to wonder now how he's going to come back from that. That's a first time as a closer, and he hadn't been doing it long, that he got rocked, and he got rocked in a huge way. Is he going to lose any confidence? And also, the more that – and Kevin Wheeler knows this – the more that Luke Weaver pitches, the more hitters can figure out what he's trying to do. The more he's exposed, the more they can get a book on him. And I think that was at play last night as well.
One of the things that I've really enjoyed, because I'm a nerd, is – the way that, you know, and we talked about this, I think the last week or the week before, Bernie, about how Tony La Russa in 2011 was the first manager that used, he got more innings from the bullpen than from the rotation in a World Series.
We
know that creativity is a big part of what's happening now. And we talk a lot about the third time through the order for starting pitchers. And what's being discussed a lot now is seeing a reliever 2 or 3 or 4 games in a row can maybe help you unlock the mystery a little bit. And we've seen that with a guy like Emmanuel Clase, who all season long was untouchable. And then all of a sudden, he's a little bit touchable because you're seeing more of him. And you'd mentioned Luke Weaver. I'm really curious about the balance of those two things and what it means, like how we strategize long term. Not so much like now. You are what you are now. But I think it shows that there's still importance in starting pitchers that can get you those three times through the order.
I don't know. I don't know. I think one day in baseball, maybe starters will start to go deep, but the numbers are just so massively one-sided on this as far as third time through the lineup. It's because pitchers just aren't conditioned mentally or physically to go deep into games anymore. So you get into that third time through, they're extremely vulnerable. I mean, that's just the way it is. So I look forward to seeing who the first team will be to just say, "Oh, no, I'm not going to pay attention to those numbers. We're just going to plow forward, men. Yeah, good luck."
Well, I think what's interesting to me from a strategic standpoint is I've never looked at it. Maybe you have, so it'd be interesting if you have. But I've never looked to see how it splits up when you're talking the ace caliber starting pitcher, like a Gerrit Cole or a healthy Shohei Ohtani, versus the 4 and 5 starters who sometimes maybe shouldn't see a lineup twice because they're not very good. I'm really curious to see how you would parse that out. Not you, but how baseball people parse that out, that third time through the order based on basically how good you are. Does that same thing hold up across the board for all-star starters? And also, do we need to be doing it a little bit less by rote and a little bit more by what you're seeing? So if a guy who's your number one starter is through 5 innings and he's killing it, maybe let him keep killing it because what he did 3 months ago might not be relevant tonight.
Yeah, there's always an exception, and the eye test still does matter too. So yeah, I agree with you there. But in terms of like the game's going to go back to what it was with this, it's not going to. It ain't going to happen.
Another week of Blues hockey. What are we thinking?
I think their goaltending's great. I think Joel Hofer last night was amazing. The Blues still get outplayed quite a bit. And their goaltending, just like last year, Binnington and Hofer continue to save them and compensate for some other weaknesses. And we saw a classic example last night. And actually, where the Blues are in goaltending, since the start of last year with these two, they've got about a top five, top six goaltending tandem in the National Hockey League.
Yeah, thank God, too, because not a lot of room for error. You know, two of your regulation wins are overtime wins. You've been behind in most of these games. Those guys are going to have to be, and I think we all thought this before the year, but those two are going to have to keep that level for 5-6 months.
Yeah, no doubt about it. They're going to have to be great. And the thing about, now people will take this the wrong way, and I don't want them to. Please, the Blues have two excellent goaltenders. Hofer does some things that Binnington can't do. Hofer's excellent with the stick. He's excellent at moving the puck. He's an offensive weapon in his own end because he can get the puck out of there quick, and he makes accurate passes. Binnington's much more limited. But Hofer actually, in some ways, has played better than Binnington. And it's interesting to me that the coach has split the first six games 3-3, you know, three starts for each guy.
Final question here. Local basketball, Mizzou, SLU, how are you feeling about that? I'm excited.
I laughed, and you're like, what is he laughing about? I don't get into college basketball until, at the very least, until after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, I'm with you, Bern. I'm much more of a call me when conference play starts, but on that particular question, I'm really curious about SLU.
I am fired up about SLU.
Yeah.
I am.
New coach, Robbie Avila's fun. You know, you have your key guys back from last year. Jimerson's still there as a sharpshooter. I'm really curious about them because it's a local story, but also because Josh Schertz had such a great run last year with Indiana State. And we've got Larry Blurd, Bern.
I'm just looking forward to that. I love this coach. And, that player is going to be one of the most popular and entertaining players in the history of the program. He really will be.
Yeah.
Can't wait for that. Yeah. Never was around, but you grew
up tall and you grew up. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with ShopPay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
5DGS, Wheels, got a three-minute stairway in you?
Yeah, I can do it. We've been talking a lot about horror movies and things along those lines. And I watched the movie Hannibal the other night,
yep.
The sequel to Silence of the Lambs. I went back and watched Silence of the Lambs last night.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make the case that Hannibal Lecter is the scariest horror movie villain of all time.
Make it.
Ever. First of all, could actually be real.
He's real.
Right? Psychopaths real. Exist. He's smarter than you. Mm-hmm. He's a psychiatrist, so he can read you and your intentions and kind of understand what you're doing. Knows things that you don't know about the world, is, you know, again, smart enough to figure out creative ways to, like, say, get himself out of captivity, how to find the people that he wants to find. But I think a lot of it is just, to me, in the horror world, the scariest people are the ones that could be real and are kind of the evil geniuses, the really smart people. Like
Terrifier, know, the clown.
Not like not Terrifier, not Pennywise, not Leatherface. Like, none of those. Jason, and they don't do anything.
Oh, like Babadook.
Yeah. That the reality is way scarier than the what do you call it? The supernatural.
Yeah. I've told you this before. Go watch Hannibal. That ran originally on NBC with Mads
Mikkelsen.
The TV
show. Yeah, I like him a lot.
This is going to be blasphemous. It's a series, so you get a lot more of him than you do Anthony. I preferred his Hannibal.
Really?
Yes.
Because the last couple nights watching that, Anthony Hopkins is perfect.
Yeah.
He is so good.
Mads takes a different approach to it.
Yeah.
But it's really good. And, who's my guy? Jeez. Who is the dad in Boys in the Hood? African-American gentleman. Great actor.
I'm spacing out. Lawrence I haven't Fishburne? Seen it in a long time.
Lawrence Fishburne.
Oh.
He is the cop.
Oh, okay.
So it's really good.
What was it, and then the thing that stood out to me about it, like, because I hadn't watched the movie in probably 5 or 6 years. I've always loved Silence of the Lambs. The first time you see Hannibal Lecter, when Clarice Starling is going through the prison, you know, going through the insane asylum, and she just gets to the edge where you can see into his cell, and he's just standing there.
Yeah.
Like, perfectly at attention, like he knew you were coming. That's so good.
Yeah. Have you seen the other ones, like Red Dragon?
Yeah, I love Red Dragon. That's going to be one of my next couple. I mean, it was part of my Halloween, my own little Halloween festival. I'm probably going to watch Red Dragon. Did you watch Hannibal Rising? Did you see the view?
No.
Yeah, it's him as a child. Hannibal as a child, and he grows up. It's actually not bad.
Right, so there's a movie where the dad in Succession plays Hannibal Lecter.
Oh.
Yeah, that's the old one, Mindhunter.
Yeah.
Brian Cox.
Yeah, Brian Cox plays that, but it's a very minor part.
Yeah, but he really owns it.
It was a lot more. Well, that's for people that are not as familiar as we nerds, that's the first version of what you'll see in Red Dragon.
Yes.
Where the bad guy is not Hannibal Lecter, just a little tiny character in it.
Correct.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.